Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, Sports to the Max, News Radio 830 WCCO. Walt Weaver and Hugh McCutchen are synonymous with volleyball in this state. Hugh, of course, the coach of the highly successful Gopher women's volleyball team, Walt Weaver. When girls volleyball started, he was at the forefront in Apple Valley, winning state championships, and eventually coached the Monarchs, a professional team in town. And anybody familiar with volleyball knows these two names very well. They're nice enough to come in studio. Gentlemen, thank you for giving us Valentine's Day night for an hour.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. I'm concerned because your wives didn't complain.
Well, you don't know that.
It was all too easy.
Hugh, before we get into that, we're watching, you know, Winter Olympics and whatnot. You've competed, obviously, in the Summer Olympics. What are the Olympics like? What pressure do you feel as a coach? How is it different coaching an Olympic team than it is a college team?
Well, I think the easiest way to describe it, I tell people all the time, it's year to year with the college stuff. So, you know, we make a run, it's good or it's bad, but whatever it is, as soon as it's over, we get to work on the next season. The Olympic world's a lot different. It's, you know, 4 years to be good for 2 weeks to hope to be good for the last 2 hours, and if you're not, then you got to wait another 4 years before you even get another sniff. You know, maybe the other element to the Olympic part of it, at least in our sport, is the idea of qualifying. It's a beast. You know, we're talking about 220 countries that play volleyball. 12 get to go to the show. So,
you forget about that, don't you? Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough enough to get there, let alone to win the thing. So it's a little bit different. And being able to have the appropriate perspective relative to what you have to do to win the next point in that arena is something that's learned. I think there's a lot of experience that matters for winning an Olympic Games. You know, it's the deal where, at least on the men's side, when I was coaching men's volleyball, we really felt that player retention and having people that had been to an Olympics already, that knowing what it was going to look like, knowing what it was going to feel like, really held them in good stead moving forward through the tournament.
How difficult is it to cut guys?
Oh, yeah.
It's elite,
tough,
right?
Yeah, but you know, for every coach that's going to sit here and tell you it's hard on them, I'm not buying any of it. I mean, we're the one that's crushing someone's dream, and that's their lifelong goal. So, you know, the way you go about it is you've got to obviously choose the squad that you think is going to have the best chance of winning, and, you know, as humanely but directly and as honestly as possible, tell these athletes that this is the decision you made. And, you know, if they want to find out why, we can certainly get into the weeds about why we're making these decisions, and there's usually a lot of data as well as the subjective stuff to back up those decisions. But we don't take that process lightly, but it's just part of the job. It's part of what you sign up for. I'm not saying it's a particularly pleasant part of the job, but I refuse to get in the conversation about, hey, it's a hard day for me. I think it's way harder for them.
Yeah, you get to coach again.
I'm still going to come to work tomorrow. Yeah.
When you get to the Olympics games itself, how did you handle your team in terms of, you've got all this stuff going on over there that you want them to enjoy. You've got a focus, the ultimate focus, the once-in-a-lifetime opportunity.
Sure.
How did you handle that in the village?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different dynamics at play. You know, obviously it's the world's biggest stage for you know, amateur sport. Well, maybe not anymore, but for Olympic sports, right? So, you know, probably the best day to be in the village is – either the day before opening ceremonies or the day opening ceremonies, because at that point, everybody's hopes and dreams are intact.
Right,
everyone's
there,
an
yep.
Olympic champion, and so the dream's still alive. You know, when you play on the volleyball team, you play for the whole 2 weeks. So by the time you get into the end of the tournament, if you're lucky enough to still be playing, it's kind of a strange space to be in. A lot of people are done. A lot
Went
of hearts
home.
Have been broken.
Yep.
So, you know, it ends up being kind of this weird environment to be in. But, you know, you just focus on the things you need to do to get on with your campaign and just kind of block that stuff out. So, you know, in terms of preparing the athlete, really trying to equip them with the tools to be able to focus on the things that they need to do, you know, as much as there's all this shiny stuff, really, you know, it's not going to help you to be able to compete tomorrow. You know, like going to the free – whatever it is, you know, the village stuff that they have. There's a whole area for, you know, nightclubs and cafeterias and whatever, and hanging out with all the athletes and trying to get pictures with different people and doing all that stuff. I mean, that's all great, but we're very clear with our athletes at the beginning that this is a business trip. You know, if you want to go on a vacation to the Olympics, then do that on your own dime and do
save
that on
for
your
4 years
time,
from
you know?
Now. Yeah.
So if you're fortunate enough to have a moment when we have some downtime and you can hang out with family or do some stuff or go see some other stuff, then that's cool. But, you know, we're here and it's business, and that's really the mentality, and that's the way we try to prepare them for what's to come. But yeah, it's different. It's unlike anything else in the world in terms of sport.
Well, when you started, I mentioned Apple Valley High School, and they would play at the old Met Center, the state championship games. Did you know, was it easy to tell right away that volleyball was going to be popular and it was going to get to a high level in the state of Minnesota? Was that easy to figure out in the late 70s?
Well, I'd like to say yes. Yeah. We knew it was going to be great. We knew it was going to build to where it is today with some 350,000 kids playing across the country and become the most popular sport in Minnesota ahead of all of the other sports in terms of participation. But could I have answered that question then? We were fighting battles of trying to get enough gym time to practice because X team needed the gym.
Sure.
And it was raining outside, and where were the uniforms going to come from? Should we have the uniforms from the basketball team? Or
should we just wear those and double them up?
So that's where it all started. And I, you know, if I'm going to be honest, I would say, no, I never saw it then. But the popularity that it has gotten to is not a surprise because I played the game. And Hugh would tell you the same thing, that once you start playing, you realize the potential of this game.
Because why? What is it that grabs you about this game?
I don't know that I can answer that question particularly, but I watched lots of basketball players at the time that I was playing were transitioning. They would be in the gym, and they'd see a volleyball, and they'd say, hey, can I try da-da-da-da? And the team that I played on was made up of lots of past basketball players that got involved in volleyball.
Sure.
I mean, Wilt Chamberlain became a volleyball player. I played against Wilt Chamberlain.
Did you really?
Yes.
How was he around the net?
Well, I came up to his waist.
Yeah, I was going to say, man.
Yeah, he was good at that just like he was at basketball. But my point is that, all of a sudden he got into that and he went, hey, this is something I want to do. And I think, so I'm not surprised it became as popular as it has become. But looking at it, you know, sitting in the Met Center at the time in the state tournament, you know, I could tell you stories all night about equipment and it was, you know, it was much different. And
yeah,
the amount of people
fight
in the audience and all that kind of stuff.
So. Yeah. Our football team, when I was in high school, won a state championship on Friday night, and our volleyball team won the state championship the next day.
I remember
Met Center.
That.
Yeah, and that was the most incredible 24 hours in the history of our school. Yeah,
sure.
And it was so cool because the whole community went from football game to volleyball game the next
day.
Yeah.
Gaylord was one of the original
major players,
programs.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll talk about boys volleyball is what we want to talk about tonight, and we will when we come back. Hugh McCutcheon, Walt Weaver in studio, Sports to Max, WCCO. Welcome back. Hugh McCutcheon, Walt Weaver in studio. The concept is simple, and it's one that has been toyed with, I think, in the past, but I said it earlier on this program. I think the timing is really good to broach this topic because every time that I've thought about this, and since Walt planted the seed with me last summer, he kept coming back to the same thing. Why wouldn't you do this? And what we're talking about is introducing boys volleyball as a possible sport down the road, Minnesota State High School League sponsored sport like we have everything else. Walt, you start this one because you fought those battles at one time when volleyball was just coming in. I keep thinking the same question keeps coming back to me. Why don't we have it yet? What has stopped us from a sport that we understand well is not real financial consuming. You know, it's not like you're buying 60 shoulder pads and helmets. Yeah. Why do we not have volleyball? Let's start from there and then go work our way back.
Well, I think a confluence of a lot of things, actually. In the early years, I tried to get boys volleyball going in the early 70s, and the walls were pretty thick. And it was mainly at that time that the people in power really didn't understand the sport. I mean, and there were, you know, it was just starting for girls, too. And so they, you know, it was seen as a girls' sport. It was seen as something that was going to conflict, perhaps, with the major sports at the time, and perhaps it would take athletes, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so, you know, those were some of the early issues. There just wasn't enough known to get it to a place where it would be accepted. And so the minute you try to get it started, an AD might say to you, well, you know, it's just we don't have time for that kind of right now.
But or sometimes maybe, they say, well, that sounds like work.
Yeah, well,
you know.
Yes, you're right. And so lots, as the years went on, and the popularity of the sport keeps growing, and it grew on the girls' level, and people started watching it, and they saw the potential in it, then boys has been growing. For the last 10 years, it's almost, you know, we have, you I think has stats on this, that it, you know, it is being played by more and more and more boys every year. So it's not an exponential growth, but it is growing steadily in the boys aspect also. And that's because, you know, parents have more than girls for kids, and they go and watch and go, wait a minute, why aren't boys playing this? This
is kind of the reverse of why they introduced it for girls basketball and everything else. Right. Hugh, you've seen it in other sports. As we mentioned, we know you as the coach of the University of Minnesota women's program. You've coached a lot of men's teams, Olympics and beyond.
Sure.
How is it working in other states, and what do you see?
Well, I think the thing that is really unique about our sport is this kind of duality to it. I think a lot of sports, you know, the men's and women's versions of those sports are quite different, and they're not really on a similar level. Whereas in our sport, you know, men's volleyball is different because the net is a little higher than women's volleyball.
Yeah.
So we're one of the few sports that tries to compensate for the difference in power and height between the two genders and tries to change some of the constraints of the game. So the men's game is, a lot of jump high and hit hard, but so is the women's game because the net's 8 inches lower,
sure.
So you can still do that. And so the two versions of the game are both really good. Now, you know, I don't mean that with any disrespect to any other sports out there. I'm just saying that there's a very significant market in the world of volleyball for both women's volleyball and men's volleyball. They're seen more as equals than they are. I think there's a tendency in a lot of sports to see the men's version maybe as a little more precise or skilled or technical or whatever. But that's not the case with our sport. And so I think that's a pretty big advantage. Now, because of that duality, when you get the men's game and the women's game going at a school, you get a really good synergy. There's a lot of improvement that gets made quickly in both teams. And you know, for example, when we look at collegiate women's volleyball, I think there's only one or two programs, maybe Texas and Nebraska, that have won a national championship at a school that doesn't have men's volleyball. All the other schools that have won a national championship in women's volleyball have a men's volleyball program.
Really?
So that's something to consider at our level. But, you know, I think you could say that at a high school level, whatever. The overall level of volleyball in this state is already really high. You know, maybe on the men's side is, or
which also means there's a plethora of good coaches that are ready to coach now. They're coaching women's and girls volleyball now, but it wouldn't be like you'd be having to teach the coaches. There's plenty of them out there that can coach.
That's exactly
this.
Right. There's a great infrastructure already in place, and you know, I get people talk about this being the state of hockey, and maybe on the guys' side that is, but I think in terms of volleyball, I mean, this is a volleyball state, and so you've got all that stuff already in place, and by having these male athletes starting to play. You get the rising tide is going to lift all the boats. You know, the women's game is going to get stronger. The boys' game will get strong. There's lots of states in this area that play. So there's all kinds of possibilities. I see it definitely as a win-win. You know, we're not paying Peter to, or whatever, robbing from Peter to pay Paul or whatever the saying is. You know, we're finding a way to not only add a men's sport for athletes that want to be in something that's dynamic and fast and a very team-oriented game. It's got to teach them a lot of good life lessons, whether they're going to end up playing professional volleyball or not, right? I mean, not all sport has to be geared towards that end.
Yeah, the real essence of a sport at the high school level, to me, is to be a great class.
That's exactly right.
Right?
Teach them a lot about
life. So that
your
kids leave with more self-esteem than they came in.
That's right. And what I say to our recruits and our athletes all the time, you know, their world is digital, but sport's analog. You know, we're old school. We can't tweet our way out of trouble at 14, 15.
No, meritocracy, man.
You know, we gotta be able to look someone in the eye and get them going. So anyway, there's all of this stuff that can happen on the boys' side, but it's going to add to the women's stuff that's already really strong. I think it's going to help immensely across the board for the sport.
Walt, the Minnesota State High School League in general has been good about trying to add sports if they can. Now, there's a process people go through, but we're seeing an immense interest in trap shooting, which I don't think anybody could foresee or forecast a few years ago. Girls and boys, spring sport, both participating. There's even fishing teams now. Mm-hmm. And they continue to. Now, they're club right now, but and there's a process you have to go through. That leaves me optimistic that something could get done. Are you optimistic?
Well, not only optimistic, but something is getting done. So when Hugh asked the question in the last summer about whether boys volleyball could exist in Minnesota, why isn't it, I guess, is what the question was phrased, we got together and said, well, okay, how can we get this to happen? And so it was a kind of a two-leg process. One was to go to the high school league and try and get it to be sanctioned, but the other one was to try and create a co-op with the schools, the high schools already, and see if we could get a club season like you said.
Yeah.
You said about trap shooting and ultimate frisbee.
Yeah, in essence, you're kind of proving there's a popularity to
correct.
It. Correct.
Yeah. And if we can raise the level of awareness and such, then we would have a thing. So that league is going to happen this spring.
And how many teams, or how do you go about figuring that out?
Yeah, well, we went to the athletic directors in the metro area, because these are the people that I have dealt with. All
right, and there's a population base there, yeah.
And so they were excited about it, and they have been a big help. John Janke at Shakopee is unbelievable. Russ Reitz down in Prior Lake, Sandy Setter at Egan. All of those ADs have started and said, well, here's how you can maybe get this going. And so we did. And we talked to all kinds of schools. And in the meantime, two women from Shakopee decided that they wanted to help. And so they are very, very good at
proactive,
rubber to the road kinds of stuff.
Yep.
And so they have put together the organization for this league. The USA North Country region has helped us with the insurance piece and the organization piece. And so altogether, there is a process right now, and there is a league right now that it's very simple to put a team in. We have like 20 teams right now.
20 teams? And what age range is it? Like freshmen to seniors? Is it?
Yeah, maybe eighth grade through seniors.
But you just want kids that are interested to come out and try it.
Right. And so, the schedule will be we're going to play on Mondays and Wednesdays in the spring. And, they'll go to each school. But, this is all over, some of the St. Paul schools are going to be involved.
Sure. I was covering sports 22 years ago when they introduced this sport called lacrosse to Minnesota.
Yeah.
And you go, okay, seems like it has a little something. Well, now, I mean, it's just – you got to work to make the team. It's not in the 90s, you could go out for the team. But Hugh, every time we introduce something for these, I'll let you guys come back to that in a minute because we got to take an update. But every time we introduce something in this state, it seems like it exceeds expectations. Every time we offer something to kids, we find out that there's a lot bigger interest in that sport or that activity than we ever realized. And maybe part of it is there's a whole bunch of kids that couldn't make the whatever team that now can think about something else, but nobody's ever offered them that.
Correct.
And I just am such an advocate that you got to give them every slice of opportunity that you can to take kind of a great class, which is in sport, which is what it should be. More with Walt and Hugh when we come back. But first, a CBS update on the shootings in Florida. Stay with us.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Welcome back. Walt Weaver, Hugh McCutcheon in studio. The topic, volleyball and boys volleyball and the chances of bringing it to Minnesota. Hugh, you guys have thrown out there and you say, okay, let's cast the net and see how many kids are really interested in this. What do the numbers look like that you've been able to study and the data that you've been able to gather?
Well, yeah, it's been, I think, surprisingly strong. When Walt and I first had the conversation, basically it was, is there any interest? Would anyone even want to do it? Not that we're pessimistic. We just had no idea what the demand would be. But
you just don't know until.
Yeah, frankly, it's shocking. We've had reports of high schools with sign-up day for boys volleyball, and they're getting over 90 kids, 90 boys signing up for the volleyball team.
That are interested in playing club.
Yeah, other places, 70, 60. I mean, these are huge numbers to come and play, and I just never would have expected that. And as Walt said before the break, we're looking at around 20 teams, but I think the registration for this spring league closes in a week or so, maybe on the 22nd or 23rd or something, I'm not sure. We would hope to add to that. I mean, we've had some schools that decided to add today, and maybe there's a few more out there. But the more we get, the more we can show that there's demand, obviously the stronger the league will be. And then moving forward, I think the stronger the case we can make for, maybe adding this as a high school sport.
Is there a profile of a volleyball player, boys? The first question I'm thinking if I'm out there listening, I'm a boy, is do I have to be tall to play volleyball?
No. I mean, there are definitely positions that you can play on the volleyball team where you don't have to be tall. You don't have to be a giant. Obviously, some quickness goes a long way. But can you jump? If you're short, if you've got some springs, you'll be okay. If you're short and slow, it might be tough.
Yep. That's not a good combination for most sports.
I agree.
but it does, it's reality sometimes, too.
Yep.
Walt, you've coached both. What do you think, as you begin to recite some of these numbers and you see the appetite kids have, how do you properly introduce it so that kids not just have an interest in it, but they get introduced the right way to it so that they do enjoy it and so that it does become organic?
Well, I think that the big thing will be that it's going to have to be a lot of patience by everybody because the skill level will not be very high, obviously. Most of these kids will not have played, although there are some that are finding clubs.
Or they played, but they played without any technical.
Pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, I've gone out and played, but I don't know what I'm doing, yeah.
Yeah, you had in your backyard picnics.
Yeah.
That was always what people used to say to us about the pop, volleyball, I know volleyball. I played in my backyard all the time. But, yes, the skills you need to play the game are pretty precise, and it takes a bit. But a male athlete is going to pick this up fast. And so I would not be surprised that if, we start this in March, by the end of this first season, I think you're going to be surprised at the level that these kids will be able to play. You have to be fairly knowledgeable about the fact that you can't just go out and work on skills for 2 hours in a practice, that they're going to have to participate and have fun doing it.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And you and I both know that they're going to want to jump and hit the ball.
Eventually they want to hit it hard to the other side.
That's going to be what they want to do.
That's what's fun, yeah. You got to hit the ball in baseball. You want to hit it hard somewhere.
We were talking earlier about the game and what is it about it. And I played a lot of different sports growing up and came to volleyball actually pretty late. But I just remember getting in there, and there's a technical aspect to it, as Walt said, that the skills are – precise. They're pretty esoteric. Everyone can kick a ball, shoot a basketball, whatever, throw a baseball. Those are all pretty basic motor patterns. But, forearm passing and spiking, running and jumping and hitting, they're a little more complicated. So there's this technical challenge to it and this precision to it. But there's also this really incredible connectedness that I don't think you get in too many sports. And I say that because I haven't played them all, right? But I've never been around a sport where you're so reliant on everyone on the team all the time. And so there's this really significant kind of a intellectual, emotional context that goes with it that is pretty addictive. I think Walt's right. For me, the first time I jumped up and cracked one, I was like, man, this is it. This is the sport I'm going to do. And obviously, I'm pretty glad I stuck with it. But, it's incredible.
What would the physical training be like for a high school boys volleyball player? Are we talking about somebody that's going to want to lift a lot of weights, run a lot of sprints? In unbelievable
hopefully
shape.
Hopefully they're going to play a lot of volleyball.
What is it you can do, dry land training they call it in hockey,
sure,
to become?
So I wouldn't go running too many marathons to get ready to go play volleyball.
Yeah.
I mean, there's certainly an aerobic component to our sport, but that's more about recovery in between
but
the moments of anaerobic.
You're looking for power in your body.
So can you drive some force through your legs? Can you have you got a good arm? Can you create some whip and some rotation as you get your arm through the ball? Those kind of things. But the fundamental skills become really the critical element because this notion of repeatability matters. You can't really out-physical someone in sitting or on serving. You know, I mean, you got to be able to do those
things. And that's where the sport becomes an interesting combination.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. You know, the idea of playing more probably is better than if you've got a choice between doing an extra set of bench and going in and playing a little volleyball. Go play some volleyball. And the thing that's pretty unique also about it is, I mean, we're talking about 6-on-6 indoor. That's what we're advocating for, and we think that's the right place to start. But there's, you know, sand volleyball, grass volleyball. They're playing snow volleyball right now at the Winter Olympics at the Austria House is one of the initiatives to keep growing the game. It's a game that you can play in high school, but it's a game you can play for the rest of your life. You know, there are 70-year-old divisions in USA Volleyball Nationals.
Yeah, we see them here during the senior games. I met a lot of those people, yeah.
And so this connectedness, this team aspect goes on forever. You know, I think that's one of the great legacies of the sport.
Well, what led you into thinking, I'm going to put my energy into this? Was it when you saw the appetite for it when you were coaching summer teams? Is it something you've been looking at a long time? Why now for you? Because you've been in volleyball for a long time.
In terms of the men?
In terms of the men, yeah.
Well, I've always said in terms of why I've done this, it's always been volleyball that was a passion. It, you know, whether at the time I was coaching girls, I loved coaching girls, but I always had it in the back of my mind. I played, and I played.
And you always said, I want to see them get that chance.
Yeah. I just love to see somebody get the opportunity to have the feelings that I did as a player, you know, and guys never had that chance, and it was always – you know, we would get guys that could be really good, and they'd want to play a little bit, but it was always a girls' sport, and you know, and that's all changed. It's all changed, and there's lots and lots of guys out there now. So for me, it was just it's volleyball's been the passion, and Hugh, basically, the success that he has had, and the level that he's had, the success has given us a chance. Or this, so to speak, to the level of popularity in Minnesota has just expanded geometrically over the last few years, much to his credit.
Sure.
And so that, you know, it's just the opportunity. It's what you said. The timing is right now.
Yeah.
The more and more people that get involved, the bigger it's becoming. It's just the timing's right.
The other thing, Hugh, when I walked in over there again to the convention centers, I've done quite a few times now over the years for the volleyball tournaments that have come through. When you see the boys' game at center court and you walk over, most of us really haven't seen it up close. We've seen it on TV. It's really something.
Yeah, it's a little bit
different.
When
you sit close, it's different, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, I think the women's side of the sport, it's certainly powerful.
Yeah, and, to take
and
nothing
athletic,
away from
no,
that.
No question. But the amount of heat that the guys are able to generate from the service line and attacking, it's pretty incredible. If you haven't seen it, you know, there are guys internationally that are serving the ball above 80 miles an hour. I don't know if you've ever faced a fastball at 80 miles an hour. Maybe that's not a fastball, but you know what I mean? But a ball that size getting on you that quick, it's a pretty remarkable thing. And then just the power of the game, the height at which it gets played, it's different. And that's, like I said, it's a really cool thing about our sport, if I can be as glib to use the word cool. But it's a really unique aspect of volleyball that you have the guys' game being played in this kind of way. And there's a lot of transfer and a lot of crossover, but the women's game holds up. It's still got its own really great strengths, and there's an attraction to watching the women's game in terms of the length of rallies and the technical aspects of that you don't get on the men's side, but then you get more of the power on the men. So, yeah, it's cool. Like I said, I think that you'll get this this synergy created between programs that are fortunate enough to have both.
Abstract question to an extent, but I think you understand it because you're pretty cerebral about the way you coach. Is coaching and do good coaches, is every sport, do you think, really different to coach? Are all sports more the same to coach? And it's a matter, obviously the technical changes, but is coaching and developing a kid and a personality the same?
You know, I would say that the principles driving coaching should be similar across all sports. And this is my opinion. But first of all, you know, our job as a coach is to help the athlete, right? We're a service provider. Our job is to help them become the best they can be and in the level that we're playing. So either to win at the high school or the club or the collegiate or the international level, whatever it is, that's our job, to help them. And to that end, we have to be well-versed in a number of different areas, but one of them should be the laws of learning so that we can teach our athletes. Yeah, we get to coach on the weekends, but we should be teaching way more than we're coaching, and that matters. And teaching is not a sport-specific skill, you know, but how we set up our drill constructs, how we design our practices, what kind of progressions we're using for our skill constructs, all those things really matter. And so to your question, I think there's a lot of transfer across sports within the idea of coaching principles. How those get applied, yeah, they've got to be different, of course, not only by sport but by team. You know, every year there's the same puzzle you got to put together, but the pieces are completely different.
We'll finish up with Walton Hugh when we come back. I want to give you our Old Dutch Athlete of the Week first, though. His name is Zach Tyson. His sport is boys basketball. School Osseo. He's a senior. 6-foot senior guard, made 9 3-point shots and went over to Tino Gray, setting a school record. Averages 21 points per game. He's the son of head coach Tim Tyson. Done quite a job out there. 6 of those 9 3-pointers in the second half for the Orioles, who have a 15-4 record and are ranked number 6 in Class 4A. They're good again. Congratulations to Zach Tyson for being this week's Old Dutch Quality Athlete of the Week. And never forget Old Dutch. The party pack, 25 different flavors I saw on the store shelves the other day. I went for the 2 for $5 Restaurante chips, and I'm going to tell you this, and folks, it took me a while to get to this point, but I take both the white flour and the gold Restaurante chips, and I mix them in one bowl. Many of you might not be ready for this. Just start with one package, one flavor. But as you advance, just like volleyball, technically, when you begin to become more comfortable with who you are as a person, you'll be able to mix and match. And dare I say it, one day, you might not be ready for this. It might be 2-3 years down the road. You'll be able to put the dill pickle chips and the barbecue chips in the same bowl and not apologize. That's how good they are at Old Dutch. A Minnesota tradition just like WCCO over 80 years. For more information on the Old Dutch Quality Athlete of the Week winners, go to olddutchfoods.com/WCCO. The Maplewood Toyota time is 7:49. Welcome back. Sports to the Max. Walt Weaver, Hugh McCutcheon in studio talking about boys volleyball. It'll be a club sport in some respects this spring for teams that want to participate, and then who knows where it goes from there. So now people are saying, okay, how this has got my interest. I'd never thought about this. Do you contact your local administrator? Is there a website? What's the best way for a person or a parent to look into it further?
Yes, I would certainly suggest if you have interest to talk to your high school administration, that's a good place to start. But in terms of getting information about the league and what's going on, you know, in terms of the social media stuff, I think Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, there's a handle, MNBoysHSVB. But there's a website, you know, www.mnboyshighschoolvolleyball.com.
MNBoysHighSchoolVolleyball.com.
MNBoysHighSchoolVolleyball.com.
A lengthy
handle, but it's a good one, yeah.
And it's a good place to start.
Yeah, I mean, all the information is going to be there. You know, the steering committee for this initiative has been phenomenal in putting these things in place. So we'll leave it with you when we go, but someone can call in and get it from you. But it's easy enough. And I think the information there, as Walt said, the North Country region, the USA Volleyball region, has been phenomenal in helping reducing the costs for anyone to start a team. I mean, really, the barriers to entry are very, very small. The cost of doing business, at least from their end, is zero. You know, I mean, their insurance and registration, they're taking that on. The region's is taking that expense, not passing it on to the athlete. So that's great. So now you're looking at, can you find a coach and some gym time and a uniform and a few volleyballs? Well, I think most high schools.
Most of them already have that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, this gets exciting, Walt, as you talk about it. It has re-energized you a little bit that way? I know you've always had a passion for it.
Oh, absolutely. I know we're extremely excited about it. I would just add to what Hugh said, too. The two people are putting the rubber to the road in terms of the league are Jenny Kilkelly and Krista Fleming in Shakopee. And if I could maybe just leave their phone number, 612-759-5222 for those people who might be interested in finding out more about the league.
Yeah, and if you start at the website, because a lot of people are driving, they don't catch the number,
right.
So just start at the website and kind of go from there.
They can find all that on the website
too. Was there a time in your career, Walt, where you tried to introduce boys volleyball to the State High School League before? Have you ever had this where it was close?
No. This is far beyond anything that we have ever done to get things started. The answers were clearly no in the early years when I did try and start this, way before you would ever think about going to the high school league. Remember, in those days, we were fighting battles for girls volleyball with the high school league. I mean, the game has changed dramatically since when we first started in high school. because of the changes that have been made through the through those times with the high school league in all kinds of different areas, the way the game is scored, how many games are played, where the state tournament was, all of those battles took years to get to where it is today.
You know, what's funny about this is, you know, when you look at when girls basketball was introduced to the state of Minnesota, boys had led the way to show you what basketball looked like, right, for high school. Now we've kind of reversed that, haven't we?
Yes.
I mean, people are familiar with the sport through girls, a girls sport, not boys, and so they at least understand what it is conceptually and that it could be offered.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it, and it's pretty ironic when you think of it, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Hugh, you got a brand new facility over at the University of Minnesota that they opened today.
Mm.
What does that do for your program?
Well, it helps us to provide our student athletes with a great environment, no question. And I think, you know, in terms of recruiting, it proves that we're investing in the right things. You know, the facilities for basketball, men's and women's basketball, for football, you know, they're standalone. But the stuff that's available to every student athlete is just incredible. I think the cafeteria stuff, the nutrition piece, a big part of all performance-based stuff these days is right on. They do a great job. And then on top of that, you've got the Land O'Lakes Center for Excellence really helping athletes transition into the next phase of their lives. And then you've got this academic center as well. And it's an incredible facility. We're very fortunate.
Yeah, a lot of momentum over there right now.
Well,
of course,
we're trying.
You know, it helps when you sell at the pavilion every time you have a home weekend, too.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's been quite a privilege to be a part of. I just feel very fortunate to be coaching at the U, really, and to be at a place where we're playing another Big Ten team and it's sold out, and
yeah. You
look at on StubHub and it's $150 a pop to get a ticket. I mean, that's just amazing.
Again, no way you'd even think it would happen. Who'd ever
been
able to envision it? And pretty much organically. Hey, gentlemen, we'll talk about it down the road, but thank you so much for coming in. Thanks for what you're doing for kids.
Absolutely.
Our pleasure.
For having
thank
us.
You.
It's been great.
Sports and Max back after this.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.